Revelation 2, verse number 19. The Bible says here, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Or in other words, what I'm looking at you, church, at is what you're doing now is greater than what you did before. I'm starting a series as we enter into the new year on Wednesdays entitled The Most Improved Christian. The Most Improved Christian. In the sports world, there are awards given out at the end of a year in professional sports and college sports. And sometimes in a high school, they'll have an award ceremony for their teams at the end of a year. This is true in racing. It's true in football. It's true in basketball, baseball, tennis, boxing, soccer, and the list goes on. In baseball, they have the Cy Young Award for the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. In college basketball, they have the Naismith Award for the best college basketball player in the country. And they give that award out. The NFL has an award called the Comeback Player of the Year. Major League Baseball has the MVP of the National League and the MVP of the American League. In tennis and basketball, they have the MIP Award. Meaning what? Most Improved Player Award. Andrei Rublev is 23 years old. He's a Russian professional tennis player, and he reached a career-high singles ranking of number 8 in 2020. He went from being ranked 23rd in the world in 2019 to being ranked number 8 in the world in 2020, and he earned the Most Improved Player. In 2019, he made $1,573,000, but in 2020, he made $1,917,000, or in other words, he got a $350,000 raise in what he does, because in 19, he won one tennis title, and in 20, he won five, and he became the most improved player in the world of tennis. You say, preacher, I could care less about tennis. I know, but you ought to know these facts once in a while, right? And in 2020, the Los Angeles Lakers, Brandon Ingram, was named the most improved player in the NBA. His points per game actually went down by half a point per game. His rebounds went up one per game, but his assist in passing the ball went up two per game. He became a better passer, and because of it, he was named the most improved player in 2020. No player has ever won the most improved player twice. Only once. To be the most improved requires diligence and focus. What a great goal for a Christian to say, I want to be a most improved Christian in the next year. I want God to look down and say, boy, have they made some spiritual improvements. Man, there's been some changes and some adjustments, and boy, there's been growth in their lives. Wouldn't you want God to say that about you? I mean, looking down at us, there are certain Bible characters that at times in their lives were most improved. I think of Paul. Here one year, he's arresting Christians and putting them in prison. And the next year, he's preaching Christ. Man, something happened in this guy's life. There's a drastic change. There's drastic improvement. I think of John Mark. I don't know what year it was, but at one point in his life, he left the team. He left the ministry. But later on, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know what? Paul wouldn't have written that unless he saw some improvement. But John Mark made some improvements in his life. I think of Onesimus in Philemon. When Paul sent him back to Philemon, and Philemon 1:11 says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Ooh, Onesimus made some improvements. And I think that we could make some improvements. I want to give you a noble goal for 2021. Lord, I want to improve spiritually as your child. Lord, show me where the improvements need to be made. Now watch this. If an Olympian, use the illustration on Sunday, but if an Olympian is going to go back and win a gold after he's placed fifth or seventh or ninth or second, he's got to identify where he needs to improve, right? I mean, it's a noble thing to say, well, I just need to get better. But you admitting that you need to get better doesn't make you get better, right? It's a noble thing to say, well, I need to improve, or I need to grow, or I need to become a better Christian. But without identifying those areas, it doesn't happen, does it? So in this series, to start the new year, what I want to do is identify some possible areas that maybe God, the Holy Spirit, would use to help you to understand, ooh, that's an area that I can improve in. That's what I can work on in the coming year. And so for a good baseball player, it might be less errors in fielding the baseball. He might be a dynamic hitter. He may have averaged 300 or even 350 last year, but he's a terrible fielder. And so in order for him to improve, he wants to bring his errors down in the fielding, in catching the ball, and so he can become a better player. He identifies the area of improvement and works at it. The first area that I want to identify in this series of the most improved Christian is improving my personal prayer life, or improving prayer in my life. I don't know about you, but that's one area that I always feel like I can improve in. There's always something that I need more fuel in the area of prayer. And so I want to bring before you tonight some things about our prayer lives. Some Christians function at the level of praying over their meals. And you know, when you first got saved, that was a big deal if you weren't doing that before. And you're praying over breakfast and lunch and dinner. And some people, that's at the level of personal prayer that they're at. Some people have added on to that maybe praying before they go to bed. They lay down in bed and they begin to talk to the Lord a little bit before they go to bed. And others may go further in their lives and pray when things come to mind to pray for. Or in other words, I not only pray at meals, I not only pray when I go to bed, but when something comes to my mind that bothers me, well, I've tried to build a habit to talk to the Lord about it. And that's good. None of these are bad times to pray, but the question that we could pose tonight to ourselves is, could your personal prayer life use improvement? And if it could use improvement, how can it improve? I want to give you four areas to think about in your personal prayer life tonight of how it could improve. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter number 5. The most improved Christian improving in prayer, in personal prayer. James chapter 5, I want you to look at verse number 16 with me, a very well-known verse, one that you've probably read over a number of times, but it identifies an area that maybe, just maybe, in your personal prayer life, you could use some improvement in. The Bible says in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one for another, that ye may be healed. And we've been doing that in our church. And God's been answering, hasn't he? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I have in my notes as the first area to consider improvement in your personal prayer life is improving in fervency. Improving in fervency. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what's tied to fervency? Because if I'm going to have a fervent prayer life, I want to know what's tied to that fervent prayer life. And the Bible says here that the effectual fervent prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man availeth much. You know, you're much more fervent and bold when you're right with the Lord. Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If your relationship with the Lord is cold, it's going to be hard to be fervent in prayer. It's important that we are pure before God and right before God. And when that's like that, we're strong, we're bold, we're fervent, we're energetic towards the Lord, we're enthusiastic about prayer. And that's what the Bible's saying here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Hey, that's going to make a difference, but it's going to come from a righteous man. That's who it's going to come from. Sin will stop fervency. Fervency comes when things are clear before God. When there's a completely open line with God. When you've purged yourself of sin as you enter into your prayer closet. And you are begging God. Brother Peter's testimony, come back to me on this thought. This testimony the other week when he was getting ready to come to Ants and said, Lord, cleanse me so that I can be a vessel. And I really would like to see somebody come to know the Lord. I don't think that was prayer. I don't think he prayed that from an ingenuine heart. He prayed that from a heart that was hungry to see somebody saved. Righteous. Fervent prayer not only comes from a righteous man, but secondly, fervent prayer is specific praying. Fervent prayer is specific praying. I think when you drop down to verses 17 and 18, you see it in the life of Elijah. Elijah's praying, and he's kind of putting himself out on a limb, isn't he? The limb is this. He's praying that it doesn't rain. And he just went and told Ahab, hey, it's not going to rain on the earth for this long a time. And Elijah goes back and prays, and if God doesn't answer that prayer, Elijah's going to look like mud on his face before Ahab. And then he comes back, and he prays, okay, Lord, now it's time to rain. I need you to let the rain come down. Brother, that wasn't general praying of, Lord, just give me a good day today. Fervent praying, we are much more apt to pray fervently about something when it is specific. You hear the emergency about Mrs. Gorman going into surgery tonight. There's an urgency to that. Boy, I want to plead on her behalf. We have an election results that are coming up next Wednesday. There's a fervency about those things, is there not? There are things that are on our heart. We're praying specifically about those things. You got a family need. You got a health concern coming up. When we pray specifically, we pray fervently. Fervent prayer is specific prayer. Hey, could you improve in the area of fervency in your praying? Confess your faults one to another. Verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer. It means to ask someone a specific request. Elijah prayed specifically. Fervent prayer is scriptural praying. It is scriptural praying. The two prayers in James chapter 5 are joined to go hide yourself and go show yourself in 1 Kings 17 and 18, where God told Elijah, go tell Ahab it's not going to rain. When Elijah went to pray, he was praying something that God told him. He was praying God's words back to him. Then God said, go to Ahab and tell him it's going to rain. And he went back and he prayed over that. Fervent prayer is scriptural praying. He was praying according to the word of the Lord that he had already heard. And brethren, sometimes we get into our prayer closets and our faith is not as strong about something as it should be. And the Holy Spirit quickens our mind about a passage of scripture or a promise or something that's true about God. And we get praying on that matter and we become fervent and we become stronger and we leave our prayer time having been with God and strong in our faith. I don't know if that happens to you. It happens to me. I don't always go into my prayer time strong. Fervent prayer is scriptural praying. Fervent prayer is profitable praying. Verse number 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, when you pray fervently, you don't waste time. College students are here. College students, guess what? You're going to run into new things. You're going to run into different burdens that you haven't faced before. You're going to run into things that you need wisdom on. Hey, get fervent about it. Get fervent about it. Get serious. Get before God and cry out to God on it. Fervent prayer is profitable praying. But you say, preacher, I'm no Elijah. The Bible talks about fervent praying and it's talking about Elijah. I'm no Elijah. That's why verse 17, the beginning words were written. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what the Bible, the Spirit of God saying here? He's an ordinary man. He didn't have any special privilege or any special power that you don't have. He was just like we are the words in the text to say, hey, don't be intimidated when you read about a Bible character that got a hold of God. You can get a hold of God. Your prayers can avail much. You can pray fervently, improving your fervency. Number two, how can I improve my prayer life, preacher? Improving your frequency. Improving your frequency. How often do you pray? Or maybe better put, how often do you talk to God? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray when you get out of bed? Years ago, I sat in a class with Marty Vaughn. Marty Vaughn said, one of the habits in my life is before I put my foot on the floor in the morning, I'm talking to God. I'm thanking God for who he is, what he's done in my life, for giving me a night's rest. And boy, that's a good thing. I can't say I do that 100%, but I work to pray when I wake up in the morning before I start even out of bed. Do you pray on your drive to work? Could you use that as a time of prayer? Do you pray at a lunch break? Is there a place in your life that you could insert another time to talk to God? Well, preacher, I have my devotions in the morning and I pray from 6 to 6:20 or 6 to 6:30 and I go throughout my day. Hey, wonderful. That's a great thing. All I'm saying is this. Could you increase the frequency? Daniel did. 3 times, right? David, the psalmist, did at evening and morning. And at noon, will I cry aloud to God? Could you improve your frequency? Do you think God would be pleased with that? If you talk to him more somewhere? Young couples, talk about this in premarital counseling, but bring it to your forefront again. Remember, you're building patterns early on in your marriage. And whatever patterns you build, boy, they're going to go down the road. The first few years of patterns generally become the pattern for a marriage. But could you, in your home, put another time of prayer in together or individually in a day? Frequency. Bible says pray without ceasing, doesn't it? So, boy, we have examples of people that prayed 3 times a day, but we also have a command that we're to be in an attitude of prayer. Lord, who should I pray for? You ever ask God that? Who should I pray for right now? Lord, what can I thank you for or praise you for? Without ceasing, improving the frequency. Thirdly, finish up with this tonight. Improving your faithfulness in prayer. Your faithfulness. Faithfulness is implied when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer and he said this, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, when he laid out the Lord's Prayer, he implied commitment and faithfulness to talk to God on a daily basis. Maybe you haven't been so good at that. Maybe you need to identify where to improve as a Christian, and maybe it's faithfulness. In Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer. In Psalm 86:3, the psalmist said this, I cry unto the Lord daily. That's faithfulness. Daily is faithfulness. Let me say this, a plan will help you. A plan will help you to be faithful. A place will help you to be faithful. A habit of recording answered prayers will help you to be faithful when you go into your prayer time. Maybe a biography of God, or as we made many years ago, and I keep with my devotions, the Hallowed Be Thy Name bookmark with all the different names of God. Things that will help you as you go down, oh, this is Monday, I'm praying for God as creator and judge and most high God and God of truth and want something for every day in those realms. But every day, Christian, that's what we're talking about. That's faithfulness. There's a fourth one I don't have time to get to tonight, but I wonder in your life, as you approach a new year, if you would have a heart before God to say, Lord, I want to be most improved. By the way, most improved in sports is not the best player. They're just most improved. They're not the best Christian. They're just most improved. Would you say, Lord, improve me? Show me, Lord, where I can improve. And in the area of personal prayer tonight, fervency, frequency, faithfulness. Do any of those ring a bell that the Spirit says, hey, there's a place you can improve. And this is not hard. This is simple steps of Christianity. And all of us should be improving. And so as we go through this series, would you just ask God, God, if you point something out, Lord, I'm willing to work on it. I'm willing to become diligent. I'm willing to make it a focus in my life. I want to improve to please you.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.